Welcome back, kings, queens, everything in betweens, to another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Warren. It is Friday here in Austin, Texas, and I have a guest to my right. Jen, do you want to introduce yourself?
I am Jen Croshaw. I have a podcast called the Gen Z Podcast because I'm delusional about my age. And yeah, I kind of split time. My home base is Vegas, and I come to Austin like once a month.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. No, I love that. And I guess give us the rundown of the Gen Z podcast. How did it start? What's it about?
Right. So I had quite a few transformative years. Mm-hmm. I was raised in the Mormon religion. I got married at 21. I did everything that, like, that I was supposed to do. I got married super young because that's just like what you're supposed to do. So I found myself divorced at 36 and I was like, holy shit. And then a couple years before that, I had left my religion with my ex-husband, luckily, because I can't imagine how that dynamic would have been. So I just felt like I needed a creative outlet because I went through all this crazy stuff. And then so the first season, I had a lot more intentions of doing like solo episodes because I wanted to talk about my experiences. But damn, I have just been healing. And so I found myself when I first launched it, I wanted a creative outlet to talk about it. And I did like an episode about divorce and kind of religion. It's very scary talking about leaving your religion, specifically that religion, because they kind of shun you in a way. So I kind of like tiptoed with a little bit. I haven't even gone like really with my full story, but in due time. But so that's how it started. And then I realized I was still deep in healing the first season. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to pivot. I really love this. I love connecting with people. So I was just going to interview cool people and their stories until I could figure out like when I was better. And then second season, I was like, you know what? Like, I want to do it on dating because that's kind of the phase I'm in right now. So that's kind of how it got started.
I love that.
I don't know where it'll evolve to, but
nice. And so if there's someone who is a new listener of the Gen Z podcast, where should they start?
So I would say I love the first season because it's just like fun people, but I would say it's not my best work. I was really learning the first season. I would say start with second season. The first episode is called Unhinged on Hinge, and it's just a really funny episode with one of my best friends about the dating apps and the crazy responses. So I would start there. I would start second season's also on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So that's where I would start.
Nice. What's your, do you have a favorite episode?
I would say anything. I would say with my best friend, Sam, that was the Unhinged on Hinge. Anyone like I'm super fun and like anything that's like chaotic and a little unhinged, like is my favorite where we're just laughing. So running clubs is a good one. I interviewed a guy who has a running club in Austin. His name's Christian. He's my good friend. Nice. We laughed a ton. Anything. Yeah. So I would say like Unhinged is probably my favorite episode, but. Yeah.
Nice. And wait, what's your release schedule? Like, when do new episodes drop?
So I was doing it every week and I was completely burned out because I'm also a hairstylist. So nice. I was like, and I'm also a single mom. So it's like trying to do all that was crazy. And I did it. I did the whole first season, like every freaking week. And I was like, okay, I'm like burned out. I'm overwhelmed. It's not fun and it's not bringing me joy at that point. So I'm doing it every other Thursday.
Nice.
And eventually I'd like to get back to once a week, but right now that just feels like more manageable.
Of course. No, yeah. Awesome. And yeah, I know there's kind of a little bit of a play on words with the Gen Z podcast.
Yeah.
You look like you could be Gen Z, but you are not Gen Z.
Yeah, no, I'm actually 38.
You do not look 38.
Thank you. So the Gen Z, it's really interesting because I was like joking with you, like I typically date younger guys. They always like tease me about it. I think because this really weird thing where I am living two different timelines. So I was married as a child. I really didn't date. I literally had like a high school boyfriend before I got married. And so I was literally married for 14 years. So I lived this like I was Mormon and married. And then this new chapter, I'm just like let out into these streets, like trying to date. Like it's been so crazy. So like the first, I've been divorced almost 3 years, but like the first year I call it my rum springa, like where the Amish like let their kids out and they're like just experiencing life. Like that's how I felt. And it was really uncomfortable. So in my mind, mentally, like I have the wisdom of like a 38-year-old, but I've got such fun, young energy. And then to be let out on the streets after not dating, I feel like I'm experiencing things like the younger, like 20 to 30 range because I'm freshly dating and I've never dated before.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like a play on words. Like I am 38. Like the government tells me I'm 38, but I reject that. But like mentally, I'm just not there. It's like, yeah, it's just weird. I relate more to the younger girls at my salon and a lot of my friends are younger. So,
I love that just for, I think kind of the other reason I really love that is more, like I, my grandparents, like my grandfather's passed away, my grandmother's still alive. They were very much your like, get off my lawn type grandparents.
Yeah.
And it showed. My grandfather has a younger brother, who's only like, I think 6 years younger, which isn't a lot when you think of older people, but his younger brother and wife, my great aunt and uncle, or my great aunt and uncle, my brain is like all over the place. They were always, you know, the grandkids had a favorite show. They liked a certain type of music.
Right.
What are you listening to? What's the, you guys are on Facebook. We'll meet you on Facebook. We'll meet you on Instagram. Like they were trying to keep up with the kids.
Yes. And
I swear it's like my great uncle seems like he could have been my grandfather's son.
Yes.
And the youthful energy thing, it continues. Like all, I feel like there's, and maybe it's like a millennial thing. I don't know if like it's more common for women to do this where it's like, oh, we're the grandmas or I'm too old for that. Like, look at those
like,
kids.
Like who
these
says
days.
That?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it really like when you get older, like it affects, you know, how long you might live or like how healthy you are. It's like you're never too old for anything.
No.
There's no such thing as too old to have a good time. So I love that.
Yeah. So I'm experiencing life kind of as like a younger 20 to 30 year old because of just my situation. And I'm also a hairstylist that has assistants because I do extensions. So I always have an assistant and they're always super young. So it's like, that's like my, who I work with every single day and my best friends. And so then I'm just like, I'm like, the joke is going to be literally, I'll probably get remarried and knocked up at like in my early 40s and I will be pregnant with my assistants. Like it's just, it just feels, I don't know, it's weird. But yeah, so I always work with younger girls. So they kind of keep me young.
Nice. Well, yeah. I love that. And I feel like I've heard, because I fiddle around on TikTok quite a bit and I see people with just all different perspectives, particularly like talking about their dating lives, their romantic relationship experience. And I feel like I've seen other like, you know, former, you know, LDS church members sharing a similar experience.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're mature and, you know, adjusted in every other sense of the world. Like, you know, they have incredible jobs, like they're, because they're usually hardworking people.
Right.
You know, they don't drink alcohol. They didn't drink alcohol. Like they didn't party or anything like that. And then, but they got married when they were 18, 19, 20. And they are just, and I think there's also just still having things like purity culture, all of that ingrained into you.
I could talk
like,
so much about that.
It doesn't just go away. And
no,
so it's like,
it does not.
It must be so scary. And then of course,
it's horrible.
Like people that were once close to you don't want to speak to you anymore.
Right.
And so it's like, who do you
go
to?
I would say it's probably the hardest thing to walk away from a religion. So when I got divorced, I was like, I want to come to Austin. Mm-hmm. I think it's part of that is I was basically raised in Vegas. I was born in Seattle, but pretty much my whole life. And I do hair and I do a lot of LDS people here, and that's great. And I was raised there. I'm still in the same, like 10 minutes away from my house. It was really scary for me because I didn't want to be judged and like have it affect my business and things like that. And I've had, but it, like if I moved somewhere, then I could like just be free. But I have felt like I've had to kind of do a little dance and not fully, I've been better, but like not posting pictures showing my legs or my arms for the first like 2 years, because I wore garments. Like, I went through the temple. I did the whole thing. And, you know, that they have, for those that don't know, it's like underwear.
The magic
that,
underwear.
Yeah. Jesus jammies, but that's so offensive. I'm sorry. But, yeah, it's garments. It's sacred. It's represented, you know, some sacred things, and you wear them down to your knees and over your shoulders. And that's also really effed up mentally anyways, because you're 21, 22 when you're getting married so young, to being forced to put something on like that. Like, I just don't feel like I had informed consent, and like, I didn't understand what I was doing. And also, I am still, when you're in your young 20s, like we're insecure about our bodies. Like I've never been like connected to my body as much. And so to put something over my body that I'm already struggling to like love and figure out and like my femininity, and then just put that on me, like, it's bad. Like it's just a little bit of a mind fuck. Mm-hmm. And then, like being let out and having to deconstruct, like, you know, I was a virgin when I got married, cause I was very faithful in my religion. So like, and you date to get married. And so then I'm balancing this, like, wait, do I date? I can date for fun. Like there are still times where I have to check with my friends and be like, so like, hold on. So like, I can just date for fun. And like, it's okay. And it's not bad. Like I have to literally, and it's still like, I've worked really hard on trying to deconstruct, and I still have to like, be like, And so dating is hard because I feel like with men too, like I'm getting better, but there's been so many men that haven't handled me with, like, I haven't felt safe because I'm like, you know, look, like, I have a really different background. It's going to be a little bit more, like, challenging for me. But, like, to be like, I can have sex and it's going to be okay. Like, it's not bad. You're not evil. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, I'm 30, you know what I mean? Like, I got divorced at 35, 36. Like, anyways, it's a lot. Like, yeah. So, yeah, it's tough. It's really tough.
Like, I can't, yeah, I can't even imagine. Like, I just must be, I think, hardened and just looking for support. Like, I feel, like,
yeah,
you know, if I have a shitty dating experience, you know, generally speaking, the women that I'm surrounded by, right, you know, could relate or say something similar. It's like, you know, how did you find community or connection, you know, to talk to about things like this?
Yeah, I would suggest. So luckily, I mean, it's still devastating. I lost a lot of friends, mm-hmm, even getting divorced. I lost friends, and like, it was amicable at the time and nobody did anything wrong. It's really weird, I think, when you evolve and grow, people, you either trigger people or you make them uncomfortable and you lose people. And that's been the most painful, I think, part of like growing or leaving a religion or even getting divorced, is like the loss that comes with growth. And I lost a lot of friends. And I thought it was always really fascinating to me, like, that, like, our friendship was literally based on religion. It wasn't based on anything else. And I think that it's kind of set up that way in a weird way that they all kind of stay together. And I was actually really lucky in high school. Like, I was always edgy and rebellious in my own little way. And so I was almost like too goody two shoes for like the other kids. And I was like not Mormon enough for the Mormons. So I was always kind of like on my weird island. So luckily I had a lot of friends that were not Mormon. So I was still able to have a community of some sort. I think going, for a lot of people, I never did this, but I think going to like a faith transition therapist would be really beneficial, specifically for leaving like a high demand religion. But I would just kind of reach out to people that had gone through experiences before, like they had left before, and no one really gets it unless they've done it. And so kind of reaching out to people who have done it before me and like be like, you know.
Totally. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh, for sure. And what was, I think, like the biggest culture shock, so to speak, you know, about modern dating? Because not only like, you know, being married for 14 years, a lot changed in those 14 years when it comes to like, technology and all of that.
Totally.
Like, any, you know, crazy culture shock stories, like just faux pas, any funny things?
Dating like apps has been weird. And like, I feel like, okay, I'm seasoned now. Like, I've been out for almost 3 years. Like, the first year, like, the weird likes on Instagram, like, what does that mean? You know, like, what does that mean? Like, dating apps, like, it's a lot of casual, low effort behavior, I feel like. I feel like when back then, I don't think they had dating apps. I mean, I wasn't on them. I don't know. Yeah. So it's like, it's this abundance of options, which is a complete illusion.
Yeah.
But it's this abundance of options and like people FOMO that nobody wants to really like settle down. And like, I don't know. It's interesting. So I think like dating apps, the Instagram, liking your story, like weird flirting that way has been, you know, and I ate it up for like the first year. I would be like so excited and I ended up just lusting after dudes that didn't want me, you know, like they didn't ask me on a date. Like it means nothing, you know? So that was just a little of a shock to me figuring it out.
For sure.
Now I'm like, cool. Like my story, whatever. It means absolutely nothing. That's a little flirt, but it's so low effort.
Yeah. What was your first like real date following?
Oh my gosh.
If you remember
it. The most unhinged situation. Okay. I talked about this. This is my Rumspringa year. Okay. I met this guy. So I had been divorced for like 2 or 3 months. So scared, just like a little scared baby. I meet this guy in Vegas out one night with a girlfriend. He was British with a bunch of guys, whatever. So I meet him. We hang out all night. We make out, whatever. And I'm like, it's like one of those things where like now I'd be like, he's from London. Like, hello. Like, that's not a long distance situation you want to do. Right. Mm-hmm. But he was in London. So I was like, let's keep in touch on social media. Right. So we keep in touch. And I like was like, I want to come see you or like whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm so glad I didn't go to London. So I have the genius idea. Like, I should go to New York. Like, let's meet in the middle. So he's like, he agreed to it randomly. And I'm like, okay, I meet this dude in New York who I've only met once. Okay. I am so scared. I have definitely not had sex with other than one person. Right. Mm-hmm. So I go to New York. Luckily I got my own hotel room, but like, so I spend 3 days with this guy that I barely know. he turns out to be so freaking annoying and horrible. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I was like so nice. I was like, whatever, it's gonna be okay. Like I like compartmentalized. But I tried hooking up with him and it was like so scary and horrific. But I'm not joking you. This is a real story. Mm-hmm. His penis was broken. I am not joking. I'm not joking. I did an episode on it, but it was so new that probably like I had no followers.
Like a broken.
So I didn't. So the thing is like I was so uncomfortable, but I was like, okay, like have you heard of the bad pancake theory?
No. What is that?
Okay. The bad pancake theory is like when you're making pancakes, the first pancake is always burned. Like it's never like fluffy and golden, right? Mm. So in my mind, I was like, all right, I need to have a bad pancake, right? Because like I had just come off a long-term relationship. Like someone needs to be, so I was like, he can be my bad pancake, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my mentality. I was like, I need practice. I need to do this. Mm-hmm. Like go meet this guy. Things are weird. Like we're trying to hook up, but things are freaking weird. Like it's not shaped right. Like it's just not work. Like it's just weird and bizarre, but I don't say anything. He doesn't. I'm like, oh gosh, like this is awful. Mm-hmm. The next day, like, I don't know how I compartmentalized. I don't know where I went. I was like, outer space, like I have no idea. Like so then he goes home, it like did not go well, and then I'm like so anxious, but I'm like, okay, this is part of the process, Jen, like you have to like get through all this stuff. The next day we like meet up to go sightseeing, and he goes, ah, babe, like in his stupid British accent, like, ah, babe, did you know I broke my dick? And I was like, that makes so much sense, because things were like freaking weird. So I was like, what? He's like, yeah, like I like was in Ibiza with the boys, and like I was doing a bunch of drugs, and like I wanted to have sex with this girl and I couldn't. So I like took a Viagra and I had sex for like 5 hours and she broke my dick. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And here I am thinking like, why are you with this dude? Like, first of all, you've been Mormon forever. You don't even do drugs. Like what? Like you're with this guy. Anyways, it was awful. That was my first experience.
Well, I mean, you can only go up from there.
You would think. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like, and I think that would be another kind of difficult thing. And I feel like I make a bunch of little TikToks about what is this random ass like buzzword mean or whatever in dating, but just how people don't always say what they mean. And a lot of times too, it's like, it's not a lot of times it's not people being intentionally untruthful per se. It's like they truly believe what they're saying, but like, you know, their actions don't reflect their words, or everyone's got a different definition of, you know, what this brand new buzzword that has only existed for a few years means anyway. You know, it's things like pillow talk, like, you know, the guy that says, oh, like, let's get married, does not mean it.
Probably. No, like, absolutely not. Uh-huh. Cool. Perfect. Yep. Yeah. You'll probably ghost me in 3 weeks, but that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, I feel like that would be a big culture shock too, especially like,
yeah, like, know, my bad. I thought you wanted to date when you said you wanted to date. Like, oh,
you know, someone in the Mormon churches, they say, let's get married. They probably mean it.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. It's been quite the culture shock. I feel like I'm a lot better this year, but I would say the first 2 years I was very much like, just
I feel like that would just that would be wild. So dating in Vegas like, I feel like I've met people, like I've heard about the challenges of like too many tourists, like the dating apps are almost useless because it's like
absolutely
not people that live there, you know, very like tourist city kind of thing. Like, what is
like, I'm trying to think. I like, we were talking about your PowerPoints. I do a PowerPoint of my dating every year. It's been kind of pathetic this year, but I'm trying to think if legitimately, like, I would say maybe 2 or 3 guys are from Vegas this entire year. Mm-hmm. It's awful. I mean, I know they say dating is awful everywhere, but like the dating apps, all it is tourists. Mm-hmm. And so it's out of town. So they automatically treat you casually. They just want to hook up. I learned that like the hard way. Not that I like went and hooked up with these guys, but I would like, you know, talk to them and then realize like what they wanted. And I'm like, this, you know what I mean? Like, I've wasted so much time talking to you. And then it's just an interesting, so I still don't drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. I'm California sober. I've dabbled with some mushrooms and I like the weed gummies at night, but I felt like I didn't want to even go there. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not cute at my age to just like go buck wild and like experiment like with stuff like that. And I've just never, like, I care too much about my skin. So I actually don't drink. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird. It's like this club industry. Like, what am I going to do? Like, date these guys that are like club promoters, like DJs that stay out till 4 or 5 in the morning. And I'm up at like 7:30 trying to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. So that in itself is like a culture that, and then all the cocktail waitress, they're all so beautiful and gorgeous and like no shade on them whatsoever. But it's like, it's super hard to just be kind of like a normal girl in Vegas mm-hmm. because that's the norm.
Yeah.
So I think it's terrible. I think it's absolutely terrible. I have not had luck. So I love coming to Austin because I feel like I have more luck in Austin than I do in Vegas.
Awesome. Well, yeah. And I totally, because I think I talk to like people in Austin sometimes, they're like, oh my God, this is the worst city for dating.
And I'm like, no, it can't
Put some optimism into some Austin ladies. What is great about dating in Austin?
Well, all the girls I talk to say that guys have Peter Pan syndrome here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I was actually out to lunch with my guy friends today and I was asking, and they say that the girls have like this high expectation with like all this money. They want to like, it's like FOMO. And so mm-hmm. I feel bad. Like, I just think in general, it's just really terrible. But I would say Austin is better in Vegas than Vegas. I feel like there's so much more to do here. Like, there's running clubs, there's like social clubs, there's singles events, like there's outdoors, like Barton Springs. Like, there's so many things that you can do to organically meet people mm-hmm. instead of Vegas, where there's like, it's bars, clubs, the strip. Like, it's been really tough trying to find local places that people go in yeah. Vegas. So I think like, at least there's better options to organically meet in Austin.
Oh, for sure. And I do. Yeah. What I do like about the city is, you know, people are always like, oh, a transplant city. But the thing about that, though, is like people that come here, they want to make friends. They're putting an active effort into trying to make yes. friends versus I grew up here. I have my friends already. So
exactly.
people are looking to be connected to their community. Yes. It's a lot of people that maybe, you know, are successful, right. moved here for a job, maybe in college, they were in sororities, fraternities.
Yeah.
They like community. So I think that is something, I think that's the foundation of how you build good relationships and meet
yeah.
good people that don't treat you as disposable. So I think
right.
it is a good, I think, foundation.
Yeah, everyone yeah. is so nice in Austin. When I first started coming, I knew no one. I just felt really strongly that I needed to be in Austin. Mm-hmm. It was the craziest thing. So I went for the first couple of months, knew no one. So I joined Bumble BFF, which is the dating app, but for friends. Mm-hmm. The cutest, coolest girls from Austin on that app. I have made all my friends from Bumble BFF or running clubs. Like, I would join a running club and like, mm-hmm. I would literally show up and be like, I'm here. Like, I don't know anyone. I don't have any friends. And people are like, oh my gosh, let me introduce you to blah, blah. Like, everyone is so nice here and like community oriented that it's just a really great place to even meet friends.
Nice. No, yeah. I would agree with that. What's your favorite run club? What's your favorite one of all?
So I went to, gosh, it was at Eastside Paddle Club.
Ooh.
Gosh, what was it called? I don't know what it was called.
Which one's the one that gets a lot of like flack for just being the shirtless guys?
Yeah, the Raw Dog. The Raw Dog. I've never went to those because they're just like really young okay. guys. And they get a lot of flack. My guy friend Christian does a running a sexy club on Sunday.
Ooh.
And so I interviewed him on my pod a couple months ago. And then I'm going to go to his on Sunday. Nice. But the running club that I did at Eastside Paddle Club is no longer. Like, Brian was the leader and he's in Houston.
Nice. Okay. I was listening to the recent podcast you did with Spencer about your like, date mishap.
Oh.
Wait, what happened there?
Dude, I just posted a reel. I got blocked by that guy.
What?
That's so crazy to me to get blocked by a man. That was crazy. Yeah. So randomly, I've never done this before. A guy DM'd me and a fellow podcaster. That's all I'll say. It, like, listen, I've never even said anything like the details of what happened. I just was making fun of the fact that I had to get saved by Spencer.
Yes.
So he flew me out, which sounds totally bad. I'm not like that type of girl. I've actually never been flown out. And it was Frontier, guys. It wasn't like a private jet, like whatever, you know. Because it sounds bad when you say that. But I got flown out for a date, which I was super excited and super open about. And I had been to Austin a bunch of times. So I was like, it's fine. Like, and I have backups if I need backups, right? Yeah. So I just told him like, hey, I am going to get a hotel. I just didn't put two and two together that like it was in San Marcos. Mm. And that's like an hour and 15 minutes away from the city. So I just said, hey, send me like the closest hotel to where you're at. Mm-hmm. I booked it. Cool, didn't think anything of it. And then when it went south, it just like went bad. We like were so unaligned. Like, we didn't even go 24 hours without, like, we did not like each other. It was crazy. I realized like, holy shit, I'm stuck like an hour and 15 out of Austin. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, travel back and forth to see my friends?
Yeah.
So I finally called Spencer crying. I was like, don't make fun of me. Like, don't make fun of me. But I did this. Like, and he's like, I'm on my way. And like, listen, people will laugh. I will do it again. Like, mm-hmm. I would do that again. Yeah. I'm just open to, like, it was fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I will be more cognizant of, like, where I'm at, like,
yeah,
probably I would have, what we should have done is I should have stayed in the city of Austin where mm-hmm. I have friends and I know the city, and he could have driven in and taken me on a date every night, and I just did my own thing. But like trying to have a weekend with somebody, like, even though I stayed at somewhere else, but like we went and worked out, like we went to breakfast, then it's like lunch, and it's like, that's too much.
Yeah,
that is way too much. Like,
totally.
If you're gonna do that, like, stay somewhere that you know, have them just take you on a date once a day and do your own thing. Totally. That's what I should have done. But I would still do it. Like, I, like, whatever. I'm open. I'm just down for fun and whatever.
Totally. And I feel like that's, I mean, I feel like that could happen anywhere where it's like a, you know, you don't know what's like relative to other places, like how right. far is something, like on a map, like to some people San Marcos might be, oh, it's just a city over.
And totally, like, I didn't
once
get
you hear
it.
If you're telling someone, oh, I gotta go to San Marcos, they're like, oh, you're doing a day trip, like,
exactly.
Yeah, so I think that just, I think that's probably that could happen to anybody. Yeah, like in any
for
city.
Sure, for sure.
And I feel like one thing I see, like, a lot of my friends, just as like everyone like enters their 30s, like my friends who are like single, I feel like something they'll do a bit more, they're more open to, is like branching out from, you know, their own city. Maybe that comes from
yeah.
having more like means and like resources to travel,
yeah.
going to like more weddings and you like run yeah. into an old friend, or like, you know, just things like that, or like they have their job has them traveling. What do you think is like, what are some things you must do and must not do if you are going, whether, you know, the man is flying you out or not, if you're going to meet up in another city to
yeah.
for like a date type thing, like what would you tell a woman to do to like keep herself safe, keep herself sane.
Yeah, because I freaking flew my ass to New York with some rando I've never met. I mean, clearly I've made great decisions, but also I want to hit on long distance too after yeah. this. But I would just say, listen, you do not stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even done this with a friend that I met on the internet that was a girl, which I yeah. like that again, this is my first year out mm-hmm. in the world, my rum springa. I'd made weird decisions, but like I was so innocent and naive. But like I met a girlfriend, she was kind of like a wellness coach, and mm-hmm. we connected over Instagram, and it was great. And I went to visit her and I stayed at her house, and that also went really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So like, never stay with the person. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You always get a hotel. If you end up vibing or you're like hooking up with the guy like and want to stay there, but you have to have a place, mm-hmm. a backup. Like, you have to have a place with your own space. And then I would just make sure, like, you know your surroundings. Like, Austin was not a big deal for me because I have so many friends. Yeah. But if I was meeting some random guy in, like, South Carolina, I've never been, I would probably think twice about that.
Yeah.
That's a little scary. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would just feel your intuition on that one. But yeah, definitely always get your own hotel room and like kind of like maybe research the area and just know what's mm-hmm. going on. Have somebody. It'd be nice if you knew somebody that you could call to save you or help you if you needed it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And long distance relationships.
People shit on it so bad. Here's my thing. Like, people who shit on long distance mm-hmm. live in a city that clearly has better dating, because I will 100% do a long distance relationship because I do not date in Vegas. Like mm-hmm. I'm open, surprise me universe, like whatever, I'm open, but like it's rough. So every time everyone's like, oh, long distance, like I've, so, you know, I'm like, yeah, that's easy for you to say if you come from a city that like has a great dating scene or whatever, or a bigger city. Like mm-hmm. I have a bigger city, yes, but it's all touristy, so it's really, really tough. And it's just a weird industry, like clubby, like
mm-hmm.
So I like long distance. Obviously, long distance, it works for a bit and then someone's gonna have to give yeah. or take. And I'm down with that. I'm open to that. Like
mm-hmm.
so I don't know. I like long distance.
Yeah. That's my like relationship.
Right. Are you now, long so. Distance?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I love it.
I think it's like coming to the end of the road of the long distance in January. But yeah, it's been like 2 years.
I love that.
Yeah.
And people shit on like, oh, you don't think that they're cheating on you. Like I just barely did a long distance and it was great. I mean, for me, I have 2 kids too.
Mm-hmm.
So I have them 1 week on, 1 week off. And I kind of love the idea of long distance. Obviously, it's not sustainable. At mm-hmm. some point, someone's got to move. And I'm open to moving, or like they move to me or yeah. whatever. But it's kind of nice to have my week with the kids where I can really focus on them. And then the week I don't, like, go travel or they come to see me, like, every, you know what I mean? So, yeah. like, we could see each other twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not ideal. And most, like, guys don't like it. But I don't know. That's kind of how I've, there's not a lot of options in Vegas. So I feel like long distance is what I've kind of done.
Yeah. No, and I feel like it does sort of take away if you, like, want, like had a desire to enter a relationship casually or just kind of keep things at a tone where they're more casual.
Yeah, you'll never do that long. You cannot do that long distance.
Very intentional. Yeah,
very intentional. Yeah, yeah, absolutely not. If it's just, you know, you can be treated casually a little bit, like if you're in the same city, but if you're talking, like, what's the point?
Yeah,
you know, it gets old and it's a waste of your time.
Yeah,
it's very intentional.
Yeah,
and you have to like the person enough to make it work. But like, there's been many guys that I like enough that I would totally make it work and try my best and travel and do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
and then when you're in your 30s, like, you have more means to travel. So.
Exactly. And for me, like, the world just seems a bit smaller. Like, maybe, and this probably, some will say this is like a privilege take, but yeah, when you are like a little bit older, like, you have the money, you have the Southwest points, you know how to fly around. Like, Austin and Nashville are just like a 2-hour flight away.
Is that where your man is?
Yeah.
I freaking love Nashville.
Yeah, he's not in like the city of, but, or like Nashville proper, but yeah, it's an easy flight. There's like
so fun.
The first and last flight in and out of the day are always like $99 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't, if someone lived like out in the boonies, maybe different story, but yeah.
I also feel like long distance too gives you space to kind of do your own thing. And then it really makes it so much better when you're together.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just makes it more special.
Yeah, I would say the one thing that, and I think just because of like, his name is Buddy. Everyone, whenever I say Buddy, like, I think I call him like my little buddy, but no, his name is Buddy. Yeah, like, I think one thing that we've done that I think makes me like confident in it in our relationship is just, like, he's had his more like extended trips, like when school is out, because yeah, he works in like the school system.
Okay, cool.
So we do get that vibe of like casual. Like, I know some like long distance relationships that maybe I've seen like haven't worked out is, you know, it's all like weekend trips, so it's all like vacation every time you're together. Like, you don't get to see each other like on an average day.
Right.
So I would say like that's an important thing too for like knowing how it'll be.
Yes.
Once you guys get together.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Subject is ended things because I didn't challenge her enough. I, straight male, was seeing someone for 4 months. Everything was going well from what I could tell. She and I went on weekly dates, met each other's friends, and had gotten pretty close. So it was a disappointing surprise to get a breakup text the other day. The reason she gave was that she felt I didn't challenge her enough the way she was looking for in a partner. This felt out of left field because she never expressed any sort of interest in being challenged, and I have no idea what she would mean. She wasn't competitive in like the healthy way, like at the gym or in sports. She wasn't outspoken about controversial beliefs, wasn't an arguer or debater or anything like that. She also hated, quote unquote, talking about work outside of work. So I don't think it's career related either. She was pretty laid back as a whole, honestly. Any insight to what wanting someone who challenges you means in a dating context?
I have so many thoughts. I feel like, I mean, listen, I have a very vibrant spirit. So for me, sometimes if I'm with somebody that like, if I feel like my light is kind of dimmed or they're kind of bringing me down, like that's one thing. But in this particular situation, I feel like we're so used to that spark and that fire, which is actually not super healthy. And a normal healthy relationship can kind of be deemed boring if you're used to that toxic weirdness. So to me, I just feel like she's not really, maybe perhaps she's not in tune with like, you know, being emotionally, you know, aware and maybe like, I mean, that's so interesting, like that she wouldn't bring up like
a why or something.
Yeah. Like, what do you want to be challenged on?
Yeah.
Like what, like
it does feel a little bit like, cause you get like sort of these excuses people you like, I don't even like to say like excuses per se, but just when people give sort of these reasons to break up that are like, you know, there is like no spark, but there's also kind of these vague, you know, fluffy terms that seem to be socially acceptable. Like I've heard people like say like, oh, I want someone who challenges me. Like it's out there in the ether of like, you know, from the pick list of options. Yes. Like it almost feels like, you know, she grabbed something out of the air. Like, I don't know. Like if nothing comes to mind, or she didn't say like, you know, I want someone who's going to get up and go to the gym with me every day.
Like,
and you
specifics.
Don't do that, you couch potato. Like there's some of it where it's like, okay, this is kind of from the pick list of the... Except that's what it feels to me. But yeah, I don't know.
That to me is like, but like, that's kind of like something, like if you're just going to make up fluff, I would feel like you'd pick something else.
Yeah.
It's like being challenged. Like, what do you want to be challenged on? Is it specific topics or is it just the fact that like you kind of want that like where it feels boring because it's like healthy and it's not that kind of, that spark or that kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, because I could also see someone where maybe they for whatever reason, like they're still at a point in their life when they see the hot and cold is exciting.
Exactly.
I think most people grow out of that because hopefully it's not healthy. It's not good for you.
It's not healthy.
Like there are healthier ways to bring like spark and fire to a relationship that are not being unkind to a person.
Right.
But yeah,
that's, like, I think people need to be more emotionally in tune and aware that like that's actually not healthy, you guys. Like that's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, like, I would guess. I would say, yeah, if there's no specific, like, hey, you're a couch potato and I need someone that'll race me.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, and I will say, coming from someone with long-term relationship experience.
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning, there's always that little kind of, like, a little bit of a dance, a little bit of that banter and, like, a little bit of that spark. But, like, that's not real life or sustainable. And so, like, you genuinely want someone to be your friend. And it should be calm. And it should just be, like, even because life is freaking hard. And when you're married for so many years, like, there's not that. You know that person so well. Like, it's just genuinely wanting to be with that person because, like, I like you. I like being around you. Like, I want to build a life with you. Like, I want to go through the highs and lows with you. But it's not going to be, like, this honeymoon spark, like you know what I mean? Your love grows over time, but it's not, it's more boring, it's more mundane, like, and then you kind of have to like work through like how do we like spark this for a little bit, like, you know, like things like that. But so I wonder if it like got past, he said four months
is right when people kind
of exactly, you know, it's like okay, it's like not as exciting, like you know each other more, and like I think that's just like a natural progression. But do you like the person enough to want to do life with them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think are like healthy ways to like bring a spark into a relationship that might feel like a little, you know, safe but maybe a little boring?
Yeah, I always loved taking trips with my partner. I think going on a vacation is the best way to like, because when you go on vacation, one, you have something to look forward to, you're genuinely usually like so happy to be there and free, and you're not like, when I go on vacation is the only time I feel like my mind is able to shut off because I'm like so out of my element that I'm not like, my mind's not raised, like I'm just free, and I feel like it just kind of shuts your mind off if you can, and just kind of be open and fun and just like learn to like go to amazing restaurants and like, you know, it's, I think going on vacation is the best way to like keep the spark and doing it often.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, every month, every couple months, doing something, even if it's like a weekend, but like go on some one big trip a year and do like some weekends frequently.
No, I would absolutely.
Say. Yeah. Yeah.
Like I've when people are like, oh, it's, there's no spark because people aren't being mean, I'm like, oh, that's not healthy.
Like go on vacation. Like go out of your element. Get sexy outfits. Go somewhere tropical where you feel sexy and like, that's
yes, like I think like small surprises. I feel like I've heard the tip, and it's, I think there's like a Kaylee Coco movie where it's like it all goes awry, but like you go on the date and you pretend it's like your first date, or you pretend you make up a persona and you like have fun with it, you know, you can be other people in the bedroom, like that sort of thing, like
and not even like, maybe don't even talk about it. Okay, if you can't afford a vacation, literally plan a staycation, but don't tell them, don't try to talk to them about it, just say, hey, I booked this for us, like and then meet me at this time or something like spontaneous and kind of fun.
Spicy lingerie, like, you know, I got a new thing.
That works too. Toys, like whatever, like you're comfortable with. I think that's great.
No, absolutely. I'm a 37 female and date men. I tried to burn the haystack method of dating with the apps. I don't know what that is. And it results in finding no one to go out with. So I'm trying to be more open. I want a relationship. I want kids. I come across profiles of men who state they want something long term or they're open to it, but many times they have the disclaimer of not in a rush. These are men in their late 30s or early 40s. I am not looking to rush per se, but I have been single a long time and I have been holding out for the right person. If I meet him, I am definitely not looking to date, nor do I feel like I need to date for many years before marriage and children, if that's what we're both looking for. Do I stay open to profiles like this, or is this what men put when they aren't really looking for something serious, but want to keep their options open?
Red flag, run. If you are an adult man in your 30s and 40s and you don't know your, like, dating goals, that always kills me, figuring out my dating goals. What the fuck? Like, are you serious? Why are you on a dating app? Figure out your goals, my man, and then go on a dating app. Or like, not in a rush. I think that is such a weird statement. That's basically saying, I'm like casual, but like I'm not wanting to say I'm casual.
Yeah.
Like you're not intentionally dating. So yeah, I wouldn't even mess with those profiles like whatsoever.
Oh, totally. And I think like anyone who says something that that is true for most people, like goes out of their way to say it, it probably means something else. I think most people don't see themselves as in a rush to be in a relationship. Like, I mean, obviously if you meet the right person, things do move fast, but you weren't looking to be in a rush, or you're not looking, no one's looking to date just anyone. Like if you ask anyone, like, you really want to be married? Okay, marry that guy tomorrow. Most people will say, no, I want to marry. Right. Well, I want to marry.
Do you think like if I say long-term relationship on a dating app, like I mean, I want to get locked down in a month? Like, no.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, not in a rush is a huge red flag to me.
Yeah. What do you think about like people who might say, you know, because I think men maybe experience this because especially I think the dating apps just create this kind of thing because it makes things like look like it looks like a digital baseball card. It feels very mathematical. You got people's stats of how old they are, what they do, all of that. I think I've heard like some men say, you know, they feel like they're, you know, being, you know, checkbox. To where, you know, they feel like maybe a woman likes them not for them, but because they're a person who said yes and is willing to do it. Or maybe they're just like, does she even really like me, or does she just want a boyfriend? And maybe they feel rushed into it because of that. Like, do you think that would be a reason like people maybe would write that? Or
I think dating apps in general are so horrible.
I'm not a fan either.
No, like I just feel like, yeah, you're right. They're being judged off of very specific categories. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, women like want a certain height and all these things, and you're fumbling dudes that could be really amazing, like in person, if you met them, that you wouldn't. Yeah. So it's this weird criteria. That's why I feel like if we all just made a collective thing where we all got off the dating apps and we are forced to find organic connection, I guarantee you, if they had no options, no dating apps, what a difference the dating scene would be. It'd be way more intentional. I feel like it would be making people go out of their house and do stuff and find things like, and it's just organic connection. You need to see the vibe. You need to see like their energy. And like, yeah, I feel bad. Everyone's getting judged on very specific things. And like, if you want to stand out, like you wouldn't know I'm like funny on my profile. Like, how would you know that? Unless I really created this like funny prompts, which I did one time, and it was so embarrassing and so cringy, and I thought it was so funny, but it was not. It did not hit. But I did like a song, like Soundtrack to Your Life, and I ended up just being like that. Like, but if you knew me, it'd be so funny. You'd be like, that's freaking hilarious. But like, random strangers do not know you. So, I just say we collectively all get off the dating apps.
Yeah, and I feel like
let's make it illegal.
Yeah, I was like never like a fan of them. I think I think it's just there's certain people, there's certain type of personalities and lifestyles that present well on a dating app and seem more attractive as a result of it. And then it's not even like, are they attractive or not? It's more like there's certain types of people that just do better on dating apps versus, you know, if you're a person who's very like, you're a good singer, you're a good comedian or something, like that is like your thing. It's hard to present on a dating app where it's very like digital baseball card. If you have a job that is like, you know, kind of unique that doesn't have like a name recognition, like everyone knows what a doctor is. If you are a, you know, who knows what else, like, you know, it really, I think, kind of throws things off. Like, I was always somebody who was a big fan of like, you know, a rugged, more like salt of the earth type of guy. Those guys are really bad at taking pictures of themselves.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, like they take, it's like you use one of your six pictures as a picture of your truck or something, or like, you know, it's you looking at your campfire and you can't see your face and stuff like that. And those are fantastic looking guys. Like,
yeah, and like that's so much pressure too on them. Like, they can't take a good picture, so they're gonna get like,
yeah.
And I think dating apps also create that false sense of, it's the illusion of so many options. It's like, oh, I can just go. Like, legitimately, like, no. And that's why if dating apps only work if you match and you immediately set, like, no small talk. Don't do any of that, because that's where it gets lost. Like, from match to date is like where it all gets screwed up, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because, like, someone gets the ick, that someone doesn't communicate enough, someone communicates too much. It's like, it's really weird. You just need to be like, hey, coffee 10. Like next week. And that's the only way that it works. But if not, it's like we do all this small talk, you get exhausted, you're doing it to so many different people that people just bow out, and like they're like, whatever, I'm not having as entertaining conversation with this girl, so I'm gonna like go to this girl. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. What do you think? Okay, so I feel like, and I hate the types of people that like present this sort of like what they say is a statistic because it's like those like red pilly type.
Yeah,
people,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, I swear there are men who like swear by, they're like 80% of the women are swiping on the top 20% of the men, and the men are swiping on 80% of the women. They won't even make, you know, the time of day for them. Like, I think just because they haven't, there's, I think that was a statistic from like years ago. It also doesn't say, you know, what went into the swipes. I think a lot of men use the crop dusting method of just swiping on everybody.
Yeah.
So they can like pick from a smaller list of people who have already said yes versus like spending a bunch of time, you know, with people that maybe won't say yes back. But what do you like, do you think that's true? Or like, do you think?
I don't know. I also like, I'm not even convinced that like, the dating apps is like not like a scheme. Like I have heard that like Hinge hides like really good looking people's profile from people. So I don't even know if like we're being shown, like I feel like it's very like manipulated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if we're being shown like really people that would be our matches, because do they actually want us to get off the dating app or do they want our money?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. I don't know how I mean, sure. I'm sure more men are swiping on more women than women are swiping on men.
Yeah.
For no, sure.
I think that, yeah, I definitely think that. And I think like I said, men are just like, have you ever seen like the video memes where it's just like guy at a bar who's just looking at his phone and just going like, hyper. It's like
see whatever.
That's not even like, I'll swipe on anyone as long as they're not hideous. That's literally swiping on everybody.
And it's just their faces. You're not even reading. No. You're not reading anything about this person.
But they're not even like looking at the one face. Like it's like swipe. Like and I feel like one thing, it's like a video where the guy's just like, I'll deal with the consequences later. And it's then he gets to look at his list of matches. And if it's like, oh, I wouldn't have matched with this person, like unmatch. And you just, you have a short list, less time of like getting excited or something.
That's a way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that throws off the numbers a little bit. And I think women do their selecting on the front end.
Well, there's so much different stuff on TikTok. Like people are like, don't swipe on the people that you think are cute, because then Hinge is going to keep all the people that look like that away from you. Like I've heard that, so I don't know.
I do think like, because I think Hinge, obviously it knows what you've put as your preferences. It knows what, I think it has, you know, obviously AI to know like what you've put in your prompt.
Yeah.
If you have it, if you list surfing and they get another surfing person, it starts to figure out who you like, and it puts people behind those like standout things.
Right.
You have to use the roses or buy the roses.
Yeah.
And it like withholds those people from you. I think there's a little bit of that. And then, of course, it knows who people are getting swipes from, you know, who the most active users are, stuff like that. And I think that is like being, used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Dating apps are so interesting to me. I have really tried not to get on them this year and just be done with it. Like just organic connection.
Yeah. Aside from run clubs, what's the best alternative to dating apps?
In a weird way, I don't like social media. I do feel like Instagram is a good dating tool, but it's, again, it needs to be intentional. Like having cute pictures up is nice because they can kind of see, but like it's the liking your stories and not asking you out. That's kind of like the bullshit that I like want to avoid. I think Instagram's an interesting way instead of dating apps, but that's not organic connection. So
no, I think what is the right way to slide into someone's DMs?
Gosh, that's like hit or miss. I really appreciate when someone's just forward. Like in general, I want to know someone's intentions. Yeah. So like it's tricky when it's like kind of friendly. Like, are you trying to be my friend or are you trying to date me? Like, I kind of like it when it was like, hey, I think you're really pretty, or like, I like your stuff and your content. Like, I would love to connect with you. Can I take you on a date? Like very simple, straightforward, but like kind of making that distinction between like, I'm interested in dating, or are you wanting to be my friend? So that's kind of, But organic connection, gosh, like, well, I've told my girls, like, in Vegas, because the Austin, there's so many options. Like, go, just go to a restaurant. Even go, you could go alone at the bar. I mean, I've done that here in Austin, and I haven't been approached, but they say, like, bring a book, which I also think is kind of weird. Like, people said that. Coffee shops, I think, would be really great working. Maybe don't have your headphones on. Just, like, work alone. But I've told my girls in Vegas, like, we should start going to sports bars, like sports bars, not like crazy bars, but like, and watch games on Sunday where the men are, you know, like that's an option. I don't know. It's just hard. Like men, I've noticed, just don't approach as much.
Yeah. I mean, there is so much, I feel like a lot of like mixed messaging where it's like, don't approach, yes, approach.
I mean, how do you feel? I want to be approached. Approach me. Every single time someone has approached me, whether or not I'm interested or not, if I am not interested, I praise them.
Yeah.
I literally, like a guy in New York, like ran up. He was like a child. And I was like, oh, like you were so young. Like I'm so, but I grabbed his arms and I was like, never stop doing this. I am so grateful that you cold approached me. Mm-hmm. At some point, this is going to work for like your dream girl. Like do not stop doing this because men don't do this. And I promise you like it'll work. I always praise anyone who will come and approach me because it's just so infrequent. Mm-hmm. Like guys just don't approach anymore.
Yeah. No, so. I think it's like, yeah, I'm a big fan of it. Like, I think, yeah, because I think there's so many different versions of like a cold approach. Like,
yeah,
people are like, oh, yeah, like people don't like cold approach like per se anymore. I feel like that wasn't like people. It was never like the way people would meet each other, like a truly cold approach of like, you know, you're at a grocery store and like, oh my gosh, your hands touch the muffins at the same time.
Right, or yeah.
Like that. But like those more like, I don't want to call them like lukewarm approaches and stuff like that. But like when you're in a social setting with people you might not know, like a lot of like loose ties, you came there with your friends and friends of friends. And like, you know, there's a table across from you that everyone appears to be your age. And like, I think those are like the really good situations to, I think, approach people and it shouldn't be frowned upon.
I say compliment. Yeah. Like, throw a compliment. Like, I've tried to compliment, like, a guy, like, or two at the gym and, like, it either, like, he's like, thanks so much and it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Or it starts a conversation. So, I like complimenting somebody, like, oh my gosh, I love your fit or, like, you have a great haircut. Like, that's so cool.
And if someone's into it, they will take
Bait. Like, exactly.
If you're at a bar, like, what are you drinking? If they say vodka soda and turn around, you know,
that's fine.
They are interested, they will say, what are you drinking back? Or, you know, who are you cheering
for? Just like opening the conversation. Yeah. So I'll sometimes just be like, oh my gosh, I love your hat or your haircut is so cool.
Yeah. I feel like too many people think cold approach means like you have to go and like get down on one knee and be like, I think you're beautiful. And then like everyone's
like,
watching.
Hi, can I take you out? Like just start with something simple.
Yeah.
As a hairstylist, I always just say like, oh my gosh, I love your hair. Like I'm a hairstylist. So like I really respect it. And I'll just say like that. And then it either goes somewhere or it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think, and one of my like past guests, like Rudy says, he's like, have a what's this? Where it's like, if you're going out somewhere, like wear something that could start a conversation. Like if you went to a certain college or if you have a favorite sports team, wear the hat.
Right. And, then, like a sports bar, that would be so cool.
Yeah. Wear the hat. Like if you have a shirt from like where you're from or something like that, a favorite band, it's like, it's something to talk about. Like
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, it's so hard when we talk about this. I'm like, man, dating is rough.
It is, but also it's like I feel like some of these like new things that have kind of created like headache, like I don't know, all the technology, all of that.
Is that what it is? Because we're like so uncomfortable talking to people.
I think the dating apps, I think what they have done and like what they, you know, protect people from is like you don't have to be rejected to your face. Like you get to like have the safety of you could just tell yourself like, oh, you know, they just didn't see me, something else happened.
Right.
And people being rejected sucks. Like it's never fun, but like you know, if that was the one way you had to grow up dating, like you would maybe you would get used to it. Like it's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
And now people are just,
they're so
dating
scared
apps
of
are convenient and stuff. And so I think it's, you know, why, you know, put yourself out there and get embarrassed or, you know, feel bad when you can just twiddle your thumbs on your phone.
Exactly. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. Any final like words, thoughts about dating before we wrap up or parting words?
I just want to make a petition to get off the app so that we can be forced to have organic connection.
What, words of wisdom, life advice for all the young ones out there? You're still young.
Oh, I was going to say, so I feel like for me personally, like everyone has different takes on it. Like I feel like people are like, you got to, you know, my guy friend's like, you got to get out there. If you want to date intentionally, like you got to have a plan. You got to get out there and do blah, 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 blah. I felt like when I was in that energy, I wanted a relationship so badly that what happens when you obsess and ruminate and you have that energy of like, it's almost like you push it away because you want it so badly, right? So I've kind of stepped away and just worked on myself. And maybe that's like a hot take. Like maybe some people don't want to do that. And I would say that like I haven't had crazy amounts of dating this year, but to work on myself so that I can be the partner that I want to attract. And then kind of taking away, like stop being so obsessive. When I go out, I used to go out with the intention of like, I gotta find somebody, you know, and I'd be disappointed every night. Going out with the intention of like, I'm just here to have fun with my friends.
Yeah.
Be so open to like whatever. But I feel like maybe not having that energy of just wanting to date so badly that it's like, I feel like you push it away almost.
Yeah.
Like work on yourself, nourish yourself, feed into it, pour into yourself, pour into your friends, and then put yourself out there, but like don't hold on to it so tightly because I feel like that's when you push it away.
Yeah. Less about outcome, more about good experience.
What I always say is like, open to everything, attached to nothing.
Love it.
Open to everything, attached to nothing. That's what I always say. And I'm just like, I'm just here to have a good time. And it'll happen when, I genuinely feel like it'll happen when it's supposed to. It's like a divine timing thing.
Yeah.
Other people think like you have to really get out there and like put your effort in. But I just feel like for me, that doesn't work. I end up really disappointed and upset about it. Mm-hmm. So just be open and just put yourself out there. But like, I'm working on myself and it'll happen when it's supposed to happen.
No, absolutely. Well, I love that. That's a really positive message.
Yeah.
Jen, where can we find you? All the socials.
Gen Z Podcast. So it's two N's, J-E-N-N-Z. It's on YouTube and then Spotify. And then also my Instagram is Gen Z Podcast.
Nice.
So thanks for having me.
Of course. And do you have like a next episode that's like planned release date or
I might,
anything to tease?
It might be you.
Oh, yay.
Yay. Yeah. Cool. If I can get this done.
Listen soon. To me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It might be yours. If not, I have. So I like to do a, I'm obsessed with Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm. It's just, me too.
So, oh, you are? Oh, obsessed.
Big fan.
So I always do a Dicks and Diet Cokes like every couple months where I just talk about bad dating stories and we sip Diet Cokes.
Nice.
So we're going to do a ho, ho, ho holiday one like right before Christmas. So if I don't get yours out first, that'll be the next one.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I love to hear that. Everyone go listen to the Gen Z Podcast.
Thank you.
It has been so much fun having you on today. You're a fantastic guest. Like, just incredible stories. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
But yeah.
Bye.
But anyway, there's my ending. Thanks
Yay.
So much, everyone. Bye.
Bye.